Let's get into God's word this morning. How many of us know that life is a journey? It is not a series of destinations. The journey is, in fact, the destination. And we're going to see again, we saw a couple weeks ago, I was gone last week, Cindy and I were going to go celebrate her granddaughter's birthday, and it was a great time to be with the family, and just, she has such good kids, and be in prayer for them, please. You know, we can sing the song, People Need the Lord, and how true that is. We all need the Lord anyway. But we discovered that Abraham kind of wandered around. He was a sojourner. When God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he went from place to place. And the Bible says he pitched tents and he built altars. Now, pitching tents, we said, describes how fleeting life is. How many of us know that whatever season in life you're in today, it's not going to last forever? Right? We can always say it came to pass. Things come to pass. And if you're, I want to encourage you, if you're within earshot of my voice, and if you're in a very hard and difficult season in life, I want you to take courage and take heart in this. This season in your life will not last forever. God's faithfulness will last forever. God's truthfulness to his promises will last forever. God's goodness to you, no matter how crummy life might be right now, will last forever. Come on, somebody. Am I right? God never changes, and his goodness never changes, and his promises never change, and his faithfulness, his reliability and trustworthiness toward you will never change. So those are occasions then in this fleetingness of life to build altars to the Lord for his goodness, for his grace, for his mercy. How many of y'all have ever had a situation in your life where you knew it could have turned out worse than it actually did? I mean, we're talking, some of you have to jog your memories back down to your teenage years. Some of you don't even have to think past last Friday night. How many of y'all realize that God was in that place? Amen. Let me ask you a question. Did you build an altar in your heart toward the Lord for that? We need to, church family. Abraham pitched tents. He built altars. Our journey should be strewn with altar after altar after altar after altar, regardless of the changing seasons in life. I remember the year, you know me, I have a photographic memory, and I remember everything so vividly. I remember the year was 1993, I was 27 years old. At that time, I was going through, my wife and I were going through a rough season. It was not a marital conflict per se, but both of us were dealing with some severe panic disorders. She had her own, I had my own. She couldn't leave the house. That's how difficult that was. And for me, you know, I was a young pastor at the time in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I really felt the need to spend time daily. I had not been doing it as often as I should have. Spend time daily reading God's word and talking to Jesus in my prayer time. And I remember one morning, I felt like, how many of us know that we can read our Bibles daily, 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 and pray daily, 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 and that's what we should do, but how many of us know would agree with me that there are days when God speaks right in through the exceptionally loud, exceptionally clear? And that was that morning. You know, I don't know why at that point in my life I had a belief that God had nothing to do with me before I got saved, that God's involvement in my life only began when I got saved, but that he had no one. And, you know, I don't know why I thought that way. And that one morning, the Lord showed me memory after memory after memory in my childhood, in my teenagehood, that his hand was over my life every step of the way. Before I was saved, while I was still busting hell wide open, come on, somebody, right? And he reached me and he took care of me because his hand was all over my life. See, this is what happens when you see life as a journey and you start building altars. You start seeing the hand of God all over your life. And you won't need to ask God, where are you? You could easily look back and say, there's that altar, there's that altar, there's that altar. The Lord saved my bacon there. He saved my bacon there. He saved my neck here. He saved my backside here.
Amen.
Hence the need to build altars on our journey. Now, Abraham did that. Isaac did that. And we're going to look at Jacob this morning because he too did that. How many of us know that we can leave a legacy to our children where they pitch tents, but that they too can build altars? Right? Open your Bibles with me, please, to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. We're going to read a story here of Jacob. Jacob's journey was quite interesting, wasn't it? Wasn't he, at the prompting of his mother, wasn't he a deceiver? And how many of us know that what goes around comes back around? Remember, was it Laban that told him to work for, what was her name? It was Leah or Rachel, right. Work 7 years, you'll have her hand. He worked 7 years. No, he switched it to the younger one. Right? Is that, was that the
oldest one?
Thank you. I stand corrected. Thank you. Never mind that I got a degree and went to seminary. Anyway, and he did the old bait and switch. He gave her the wrong daughter that he had worked for, right? So he had to work another 7 years for the one he wanted. And so he was a rabble rouser, but then he has a moment, listen carefully, church family, of intervention where his life is changed for the better. How many of us know that no matter what you've done up to this point in your life, God's grace can still reach a human life? No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter who you are now, God's grace can have the last say-so in your life. Let's hear a hearty amen from the saved in the house.
Amen.
Thank you. All right, let's begin reading with verse 10, please. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and he put it at his head and he lay down in that place to sleep. Wow, terrible pillows back then. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. Isn't that interesting? Surely the Lord was in this place and I did not know it. Do you realize, church family, that God can be present in your life and you not even be aware that he was? Shouldn't that make us more attentive to see what God is, in fact, doing in our lives? Right? A lot of people complain, well, you know, Joe, you say the Lord talks to you and talks to you and talks to you. How do you know it's the Lord talking to you? Well, number one, it never contradicts his word. Yoo-hoo! Number two, I've never prepared Kool-Aid, put it up here on the altar, and said, come on and take a drink. Right? I haven't yet busted out the rattlesnakes. No, I'm teasing. we'll hang chandeliers. We can swing from them. We can foam at the mouth. No, wait, I'm getting out of hand here. Getting all Kentucky foothills type of church. What's that, brother?
Bark like a dog.
Bark like a, exactly, on the floor. It does happen in some churches, but we'll leave that alone. Not in this one. So how many of y'all say, thank God we don't bark like dogs?
Amen.
Right. I occasionally, when I step on a few toes, I hear, down, cat. Okay, so where was my train of thought before all this? What's that? It did. Thank you for spotting the obvious, Captain. God, what? Yes, that God speaks. Listen, God will never say something to you that will contradict his word. Number two, God will speak to you in ways that will make you more like Jesus, not less like Jesus. God will speak to you in ways where you must decrease and he must increase. Would you say that's a safe rule of thumb, church family, to know whether or not the Lord is speaking to us? Right? And so the Lord does speak through a variety of ways. Listen, primarily, let me say here, primarily through his word. Now, Jacob had this encounter where he didn't realize the presence of the Lord was there, and he did not realize it. I want to encourage us, church family. I see the hand of God all over my life. There's that song, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. Do we believe it? I see evidences of God being with me as a kid, saving me from getting caught by the cops, and I won't tell you what I was doing, and getting turned in. Well, that happened twice, but we'll leave that alone. It's under the blood. I see evidence of his goodness even today. You think you're better than me, Joe? No, I'm not better than anybody. I'm just telling you because I have chosen to build altars to the Lord. I can see God's hand more readily in my life. So my question is, are you building altars in your heart? You know, Mary built an altar in her heart when the angel spoke to her. The Gospel of Matthew, I want to say, says Mary pondered all these things in her heart. What was she doing? When she pondered all the things that God had spoken to her through the angel Gabriel, she did what? She built an altar in her heart to the Lord. So I want to encourage us. Now, having said that, how many of us know that sometimes we don't realize that God was in our lives or present in a powerful way in our lives to rescue, to save, to do whatever he did until after the fact? Let's call that post-encounter revelation. Post-encounter revelation. A post-encounter revelation is when God meets you while you're in the middle of that encounter. That encounter is too big for you to currently, presently wrap your mind around it at the moment. That it's not after the encounter is over that you realize, that was the Lord. Let me give you an illustration. I remember when I was just a young kid. I was a teenager, 18, about to graduate high school and about to go into college. And my pastor at the church that I was attending there in Texas, he had made a challenge. He said, I want you guys as a church family to pray for, because they were commencing a building program at that church in El Paso. He said, I want you guys to pray that you give extra, but pray, ask the Lord to give you a specific amount of money and give it to the church when the Lord gives it to you. Well, you know, in my juvenile zeal, I had just been saved for a couple of years, really, and my faith was still at a juvenile, maybe infantile stage. So I said, Lord, I'm going to pray for $50. You know, I was in high school. I didn't have no job. I didn't have a job. I didn't have anything for any source of income. And so I had prayed for $50. Now $50 is child's play. That's chicken feed, right? Now, if I had had that challenge, I could probably pray for thousands. That's where my faith is now. But my faith back then, you know, I just said, Lord, I'm going to believe you for $50 that I can give to the church. Well, I had no job, no income, no nothing. And so, you know, days went by, and then we got a phone call from a long lost uncle that was driving through town. He lived in Anaheim, California, was driving to Laredo, Texas. And so he was going to stop there in El Paso. And I remember when he showed up, he came out and I greeted him. I was watching vividly. I still remember it was a Saturday afternoon. I was watching a tennis match on television. It might have been Bjorn Borg and I can't remember the guy, the Rebel. Back in the 80s. So anyway, and then he came around and he said, hey, how are you? How's school doing? Everything and all this and that. And then I said, it's going well. And then he kind of looked this way and looked that way, make sure no one was watching. He reached in his pocket. He came over to where I was. He said, hey, I want to wish you well in your studies. And then he walked away. Well, I knew it was a dollar bill of some denomination. I didn't look at it. I kind of kept it in my pocket till later that evening. It was either later that evening, and I looked at it when he was gone. $50. Amen. Do you think that's coincidence? You know what I have found, church family? When you build altars, there is no such thing as coincidence, but there is such thing as providence. Right? I don't believe in coincidence anymore. I believe in God encounters. Don't you think that that incident, that experience, helped cement my faith and helped my faith grow? Now, the next time I came up with a need, I had something to fall back on. You know what? If the Lord provided that 50, the Lord can surely provide the money so I can pay my bills. Isn't that what David said? The Lord delivered the lion. Was it a lion and a bear? Gosh, I'm just shooting blanks this morning. Is it a lion and a bear? He said, surely he'll deliver the giant into my hand. See how important it is to build altars, church family? It strengthens your faith. You begin to stack major victory after victory after victory after victory when you set apart the Lord in your heart and you build altars to him, all right? So now let's move on. We're not done yet. So far, so good, everybody?
Yes.
Good teaching?
Yes.
All right, let's move on. So he realized, verse 16, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? Isn't that interesting that when the encounter is over, that's when it hits you? Whoa, that was awesome. That was awesome. I remember, you know, I had some media attention when I was went through the Boston Marathon thing. And I remember seeing my brother in El Paso, Texas. He said, Joe, he said, I was just having lunch and I turned on, you know, CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. And he said, next thing you know, there you are. You're on the screen talking, being interviewed. And I said, yeah. Didn't I tell you I was going to make it? No, no, I didn't say that. He's like, dude, I almost choked on my food. I said, God did something awesome. Amen?
Amen?
Listen, when that encounter is over, the awesomeness of that moment hits us. Maybe not always during, but definitely afterwards, after it's over. He says, how awesome is this place? Notice he's going to build an altar. There, this is none other than the what? House of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now understand, back then they didn't have any church. No church. This is the house of God. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, poured oil on top of it, and he called. You know what he did? He set that stone apart. He anointed that stone. Then Jacob, he called the name that place, he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. What's he doing? He's building an altar. He's building an altar. Verse 22, this and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a what? Tenth to you. Did Jacob build an altar to the Lord with that stone? He did, didn't he? He called that place Bethel, which means what? House of God. Now let's look at 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe it's verse 15. If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's what?
Household,
which is the church of the living God and the pillar and foundation of the truth. Notice that term again, God's household, is brought up and it's linked with the word pillar. Can we say here, church family, that church, the church, capital C, universal of Jesus Christ, is the foundation and the pillar for truth? I mean, you're not going to get it from Dr. Oz, right? You sure enough are not get it on. You're not going to get it on NPR. Oh, Pastor Joey, I wish you wouldn't have said that. You lost me right there. You know, I had a lot of friends in Kansas that sucked off of that channel daily for hours, and they were the most grumpy, and they were the most bitter, and they were the most cynical people. And I'm thinking, well, if they're having a steady diet of NPR, is it any wonder they are how they are? In closing, listen, church is a place that we can build altars to the Lord. Church is a place that we need to go to on our journey of faith. Thank you, Miss Martha. I don't think everybody else is convinced. Church family, listen, I'm going to shoot it straight, because I know I'm talking biblically. You can ask God. He's a solid teacher of the word. In the Bible, there's a huge encouragement. Hebrews chapter 10, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. And all the more now that Jesus Christ's return is approaching. I don't understand for the life of me, and I say this as gently as I possibly can, how we can claim the name of Christ and not want to be a part of God's people, of the gathering called the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. My wife told me recently, she said, if you love me, you're going to love my cats. Well, I'm beginning to like him, babe, except for Einstein. He's afraid of me for whatever reason. Good judge of character. Consider the source. But how would it be, listen, how would it be if I told Cindy, I said, babe, I love you, I love you, I love you with all my heart, but I don't care for your children. How do you think she's going to respond? It's like, cling, 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 cling. She's got her nails. Isn't that what we say to Jesus when we are believers but don't go to church? Oh, Lord, I love you, I love you, I love Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you. But I don't care for your kids. Well, how do you think the Lord's going to take that? He's saying, hey, buddy, you don't have an exemption card? Get your butt in church. That's a Jesus I know. Right? Or, you know, the church is the bride of Christ. Oh, Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you, but I hate your wife. Isn't that what we're saying to the Lord when we say, oh, Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you, but I don't like church? You're saying that there's no difference. Am I thinking wrong, church family? Am I thinking wrong? Aren't we sliding Christ by saying, I love you, but I don't like your wife or I don't like your kids? Yes or no? Listen, this is Bethel. This is a house of God. And notice what else God revealed it as, a gateway to heaven. God can use church to reach people so that they can make it to heaven. And if God says this is a pillar of truth, which means you're going to hear messages here that you're not going to hear on CNN or ESPN or less enough on Turner Network. Right? This is the pillar of truth. We need truth all the more in this age of deception and half-truths and misinformation and lies. How can we snub Christ over his church? But you don't understand, Pastor Joe. I was once hurt. You know, join the club. Who hasn't been hurt by church? I've been hurt many times and I was the pastor. Yoo-hoo! It's good for us because it helps us develop a thicker skin. Listen, I don't want to be the person that stays home every Sunday, that live streams the message or hears podcasts. I know if you're, listen, I'm going to say it this way. If you're an able-bodied person and can go to church, show up and be a part of what God is doing and shuffle in, get into line with the rest of God's children. Hello. Amen? Amen. Let's close. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Father, help us on this journey to realize that we need to build altars to you, Lord, to see your hand. Even when the encounter is so pregnant with power and brilliance that we cannot fully unravel it during the time it's happening. It's only afterward that it takes us days, weeks, months, maybe even years to unpack how powerful that moment was. Help us, Lord. Help us to build altars. Help us to be committed to your people, to the gathering of the saints in honor of the name of Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.